The Wall Street Journal podcast are brought to you by American Express, offering eligible card members flexible funding solutions like business loans that could be a big headline for your business. The powerful backing of American Express. Don't do business without it. Visit americanexpress.com/business for details.
With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal. It's never too early to start saving for retirement, but millennials are finding it more difficult than previous generations to prepare for financial success in later years. The Wall Street Journal's Ann Turgeson will have some tips on how young people can maximize their savings for retirement. First, some money headlines. Should we give thanks for the U.S.-China trade dispute? One upside of the trade battle is that it's keeping the cost of Thanksgiving down. The Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street says the tariffs that President Trump's administration has placed on Chinese products should end up raising prices in the U.S., but China's retaliatory moves are having the opposite effect. Tariffs on U.S. agricultural products have damped Chinese demand, boosting supplies of some staples of the Thanksgiving table. Cranberry prices have fallen because farmers are dealing with a supply glut that has pushed prices below the cost of production. Tariffs on U.S. pork have pushed prices so low, it has had spillover effects on other products. Tyson Foods has cut its 2019 sales forecast as a result of lower pork and poultry prices. The Labor Department's inflation report on Wednesday showed prices of raw poultry, excluding chicken, mostly turkey, were down 4.9% from a year earlier. Americans' household debt kept climbing in the third quarter, with balances continuing to rise for almost all types of borrowing. That's according to the latest report from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. In the third quarter of this year, total household debt increased for the 17th consecutive quarter to $13.5 trillion, more than 20% above the trough it hit in the second quarter of 2013. Both mortgage originations and non-housing debt increased in the third quarter from the prior quarter. Outstanding student loan debt, auto loan balances, and credit card balances all rose. The New York Fed report said Americans are mostly keeping up with their debt payments. Still ahead, how millennials can save for retirement. This is your money briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
IBM is working with clients to put smart to work and bring progress to everyone. Together with IBM, experts are putting smart to work to help the environment, improve safety on the road, and make progress. Not just for a few of us, but for all of us. Because while technology has never been smarter, smart only matters when you put it to work. Let's put smart to work. Find out how at ibm.com/smart/UK.
Retirement may be a long way off for millennials, but the Wall Street Journal says that rarely has it been more important or more difficult to build habits that can maximize savings for retirement. What steps should people take in their 20s and 30s to prepare for financial success in their 50s and beyond? The Wall Street Journal's Ann Turgeson has talked to some financial pros and has some tips for us. First, Ann, you write that millennials are at more of a disadvantage than previous generations when it comes to saving for retirement.
Yeah, I think the overall point is that millennials are just sort of in a more precarious economic situation overall. Thanks to the Great Recession, a lot of them got kind of delayed starts in their professional lives. And so, you know, to some extent, people have had a harder time getting the attractive career track jobs, which has obviously had ramifications for their incomes and their ability to save compared to earlier generations.
So what should young people do? You cite one financial planner who says that there are basically two rules of thumb to get into the habit of saving for the future.
Yeah, I cite Cheryl Garrett, who's a veteran financial planner. She likes to keep things kind of simple. I mean, I think which makes sense. And, you know, she also says it's important not to frame things in terms of necessarily retirement, which seems so abstract and far away to young people. So it's better to think in terms of, you know, long term, short term. And what she says is that you should save 10% for the long term. And you don't necessarily, that doesn't mean the 10% has to come directly out of your pocket. If your employer offers a matching contribution of 3%, that means you should save 7%. And then for the short term, which is sort of another way of saying emergency savings, she recommends that people save an additional 5%.
But I guess the important thing is to start saving right after a person starts working. The earlier, the better.
Yeah, the earlier, the better. Obviously, that has to do with compounding. It's easier to kind of reach your goal the earlier you start, the more years that you save. It's complicated for a lot of millennials because of student debt. They're sort of pulled in two directions. It's like they want to save, but yet they have to pay down debt. And obviously, if you do both, sometimes you don't have enough money left over.
Speaking of student debt, it really is tough to save for retirement or save for anything if a person is saddled with thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars of student debt. So how can he or she free up money for saving in this case?
Right. So with student debt, there's sort of, especially for federal loans, there's a standard repayment plan, which is a 10-year repayment plan. And, you know, the benefit and the value of the standard plan is that you're going to minimize the total amount of interest you pay because you're paying it off over that 10-year period, which for most people turns out to be the shortest time that they can afford to pay it off by. But there are ways to reduce the cost, sort of the cash flow impact, and reduce those monthly payments, one of which is to refinance. And the way you refinance is that instead of having like federal loans or private loans, you take out a new private loan at a lower interest rate, and that reduces your monthly payment. Now, it's possible also to take out a new private loan with a lower interest rate over a longer period of time. And, you know, that gets into situations where you have to think in terms of trade-offs. But with sort of a strategy like that, you can reduce your student loan monthly payments in order to free up cash to actually put money into savings. So you can kind of do both rather than having to choose one or the other. If you have federal loans, there's also the issue of there are actually other repayment plans that are available to you. And there's ways to get some loan forgiveness, too. I mean, this is kind of a complicated area, so people would be well advised to do their research. I've got more details in the column. There are resources that the Labor Department calculators, ways that you can go and get educated and figure out what your best option is.
And you also say that besides building up an emergency fund that you mentioned, millennials should buy disability insurance.
Yeah, and this is an area that I think most people overlook. And in fact, I would have completely overlooked this. As somebody who's written about personal finance for years, that wasn't really on my list of things to talk about. But every financial planner I spoke with brought this up and made a big point of it. The point here is that when you're young, especially, what your biggest asset is yourself. So that means that it's important, first of all, to invest in education in order to further your future career opportunities. You know, in order to boost your income, it's probably worth it to spend some money to get a higher degree. So the second piece of that, though, is that, you know, if you become disabled, what you have, your biggest asset, is severely compromised. You can't earn any money. You're then completely dependent on whoever, your parents. So in order to protect that asset yourself, you should buy some disability insurance, which is expensive, but it's something that everybody says is necessary in order to protect yourself on the downside.
What are some ways to obtain disability insurance?
It's available in the private market. You can just buy it directly from an insurance company, but it's often far cheaper if you can purchase it through your employer. Or if you're an independent contractor, maybe you belong to an association, for example, the Freelancers Union, or, you know, like a trade association. It might even be worth joining such a trade association in order to get access to a group plan, because they tend to be pretty significantly discounted versus what you can buy directly from an insurance company.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ann Turgeson joining us here in our studio. Thanks a lot, Ann.
You're welcome.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.